Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister to Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to tune into our program this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the service times of our regular meeting times at Harrisburg. We hope you'll come by and study the Bible with us and worship God and know that you will always be warmly received and welcome. We hope you'll take that opportunity. We are studying the book of Revelation, and last week we looked at the throne scene in Revelation chapter 4. Today we want to look at Revelation chapter 5. Let us begin by reading the first few passages of Revelation chapter 5. And I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll, written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. From the general scene of heaven and the Father's throne, John's attention is captivated by a scroll that is in the Almighty's hand. Something about it, with the seven seals around it, catches his attention. It's kept from public view. John and other observers of the scene that it would be desirable to know what's contained in that scroll. John saw a book in the right hand of God. This represents God's eternal plan, his purposes, in respect to the destiny of mankind. This book was sealed with seven seals, indicating it was closed, unrevealed, and unexecuted. To break the seal meant not only to reveal, but to carry out God's plan. John wept, because no one in the entire universe was worthy to open the book. To leave the scroll unopened would mean no protection for God's children in the hour of this bitter trial, no judgment upon the persecuting world, no ultimate triumph for the believers, no new heaven, no new earth. Yet, no one is on the scene yet, but that all changes in verse number 5. In verse number 5 we read, "But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals.' And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne." In verses 5 through 7, we see that now one arrives who is going to be worthy. The only one in heaven or on earth worthy to open this important scroll had not yet arrived on the scene in the first four verses. But now he comes to John's attention. Christ, seen early in the Apocalypse in the manner described in chapter 1, now appears as a lamb standing as though he had been slain. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the whole sin of the world. John the Baptist said that same statement in John 1 verse 29. He has the marks of the sacrificial death still on himself, but he is not dead. He is standing and alive. He also has power, according to the seven horns, and knowledge, perfect knowledge, according to the seven eyes, which work for the benefit of those who trust and follow him. Because of who he is and what he has done, he is the only person who is worthy in holiness and in pure authority to open and reveal the contents of the book of the destiny of mankind. What we see is the Lamb is Jesus Christ. The tribe of Judah and the root of David gives us insight to who he is. In conquering Satan and bearing the full burden of the wrath of God against sin, he had proven himself to be strong as a lion. The reference to Judah is a prophecy fulfilled in Genesis 49, verse 9 and 10. As a descendant of David, he is the king's lineage, which was promised and prophesied in 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 16, and fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 and verse 30. Though he was told it was a lion, John turned and saw a lamb that had been slain. Christ, in his suffering and death, showed the characteristic of both the lamb and the lion. 1 Peter 1, verse 19, and also Isaiah 53, verse 1 and 7. His seven horns represent his power and his authority. His seven eyes represent the fullness of the Holy Spirit and of complete, perfect knowledge. In verse 8 through 10, the natural response. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000, 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature who is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such that are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard them saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to Lamb and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures, Amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. Here we see the song of redemption. Those servants closest to the Father now fall down in worship of the Lamb. They each have a harp, symbolizing praise by an instrument of joyful music, and golden bowls of incense, symbolizing the prayers of the saints that were offered to him. Their song is a song that is new, because never before has such a great and glorious deliverance been accomplished. Christ is worthy. Why is he worthy to open the book? Why is he the only one worthy to open the book? For he is God. Yes, and he redeemed us by his blood, by his sacrifice. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 11. His sacrifice and his blood, he was slain, and the precious blood was shed for the redemption of mankind. 1 Peter 1, verse number 18. We also see the chorus of heaven giving him praise. Joining in the chorus of praise are the voice of the many angels, four living creatures, 24 elders, altogether numbering 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, all saying, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor, glory and blessing. These numbers just mean an innumerable number, a number that cannot be counted, not a literal number, but showing that's an endless number. This is heard of the sound of the grand Amen, and the four living creatures and elders fall down and worship him. Such is the scene that John's allowed to see in heaven. The church on earth need not fear, no matter how fraught with tribulations the scroll of human history may be. The Creator controls the universe, and his Redeemer has all authority. Those who follow him will never pass beyond his love and his care. Jesus is the Redeemer. He is God's tool in conquering the persecution. God holds the book in his hand of the future events. Saints waiting for this, for hope and relief and encouragement during the onslaught that they're facing. Tired of the emperor's persecution. But now, finally, one's worthy to open God's book. God's Son, the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. God is on the throne. He's not on a stage. They weep because no one can open the book until the Lamb appears. Now he is worthy. Why? Because he was slain. Because he gave his life. Because he fulfilled his Father's will. He is now the worthy Lamb. He is now on the throne, and all worship him. And all give him honor, praise, and glory and honor that's due to him. Why? Because he has fulfilled God's will, and he has carried out God's eternal destiny and plan for man. The Lamb and the Father are worthy of worship. In keeping with the frequent use of seven in perfection, in apocalyptic literature, the Lamb is praised by means of seven expressions. The voice of the angelic host adore this song. Worthy is the Lamb that has been slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, might, honor, glory, and blessing. A series of seven, showing perfection and completeness. The stage has now been set for the first dramatic movement of the apocalypse. The Father is secured on the throne. The secrets of the destiny of mankind are known to him and under his control, and the Lamb has been judged worthy to reveal certain of those secrets of persons who are interested in knowing the outcome of the church crisis on earth in the time of the writing of John. This is the greatest mistake that is made in looking at the Revelation, is looking at the context. In chapter 4, we saw the security of God on the throne, the knowledge that God rules in the hearts of men, that God rules the nations of men, that he has complete sovereignty, and he is in charge, and he is in control, and no man or nation rules or controls over him. And when we get to chapter number 5, we see the provision that we're in the eternal plan. For God had a plan before the creation of the world, according to Ephesians verse 1, chapter 1 and verse 4. And we see that plan is held in his hand. And John weeps because there's no one there worthy enough to open that scroll and to release the seal and to look on what's written on that scroll. But then the Lamb is on the scene, the victorious Lamb, the one that gave his life, the one that died on Calvary, the one that shed his blood while we were yet sinners, Romans 5 and verse 8, the one that bought us with the precious, without spot and blemish blood of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. We also have the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sin of the world, the remedy for sin for all of mankind, John 1, verse 29. The victorious Lamb takes the scroll, and he is worthy to open it because of his conduct, because he's God, because he's been faithful, because he's paid the ransom price, because he's redeemed the lost, and because he's carried out God's will on earth. And he is receiving honor and glory and praise, well deserved and well noticed. Why? Because he is the only one worthy to take the scroll and open it and to reveal to us the outcome of the crisis on earth. And really, dear listener, not just the crisis that was going on in the first century to the church that was being persecuted and was seeking to destroy the church, but the outcome of any who stand opposed to the plans and to the determination and to the eternal decision that God has for those who love him. No nation, no group of nations can ever stand between God on the throne and the Lamb who is now on the throne, ruling and reigning, and has sovereignty and power given to him by his Father, Matthew 28 and verse 18. Thus, this is a scene of great comfort and great assurance that God certainly is in control and that God's plans are going exactly as he had planned them to go. He knew that man would separate himself by God, to God, from God, from sin, but yet he had a Redeemer in mind, and that Redeemer has now fulfilled that part of God's plan. And now John is seeing that this plan has some more parts. And now this scroll has been released to the Lamb. And the Lamb is going to open it. And he's going to break the seals. And we're going to find out what is going to happen and what will transpire as the events play out on earth. We know past history. We know Rome was defeated. The church was victorious. And Rome was going to be subdued. But that's the fate of any who oppose God. Not just true in the days of Rome, but even true in our time. Why? Because God is in control. Never doubt. Thank you for listening today, and please come and worship with us today, and hopefully tune in again next week as we continue our study of the